Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
That's all good. It's all good. Welcome to Thanksgiving week. Are you excited? All of you that work jobs every day, you have to go in, beat, you know, the time clock, you know, whatever time it is, maybe you're a third shifter. But I'm sure that you're looking forward to having some time off. I think everybody would have like at least a day off. Isn't that good? I remember those days like working, being young and working, you know, going every day, you know, you're learning how to be responsible and go to work every day and do what you got to do as a young person. And I can remember when the holiday weeks came, it was like, oh, yes, I only got to work 2 days this week or 3 days. And then I get like 4 days off or however many. And I remember you were counting the weeks. And then between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's like how many weeks? And like then I get like lots of time off. Everybody like that? Yeah, we like our time off. So that's good. I hope that you get to spend time with family, with friends. Maybe you're here and you don't have a lot of family. I have a lot of family in Oklahoma and I have a little friend coming. And so friends are like family. When you're at church, you become family. But you really are family in the house of God. And so you have brothers and sisters all across this world. Some you've never even met, a lot you've never met, but there's coming a day you're going to meet them, get to see them every day. Isn't that awesome that God made a way for us? I'm so excited. The day that we're living in, I tell you, when you look at the news, you probably should just turn it off anymore because it's just all bad and it's getting worse. But we have a hope. In Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And so we are spreading Jesus. And so really church is the hope of the world. That is such a true statement. It is the only hope in this world. Is us telling others about Jesus and bringing them in. And so I encourage you to do that. Invite others. We're going to begin. Start having reach teams or people going out. And we're going to do what we can do to reach people, to know Jesus and get to know them. Amen. Well, I'm so excited. I'm here with you guys again. I think this is my last Sunday for a little bit. I feel like we've just been hanging out for the month of November, but it's been fun. Some people are like, I've never really even heard you speak because maybe you're new to the church. And so it's been fun. I've done a lot of Wednesdays, but then I've done Sundays with you. And Pastor, boy, he spoke at the men's conference, and that was just a blessing and an honor for Pastor and Mrs. Hagen at our alumni, our alma mater. And for Rhema, it's a big deal, and Rhema has done a lot in the lives of a couple ministers here, and I know other ministers and pastors that are in our area. And we have a special guest here today. I won't make a big deal, but my daughters take piano lessons from somebody that's in the congregation, Mr. Brian, and he brought his daughter with him. And so they came to hear Grayson today, and he'll probably come another day to hear Addison. But that's fun, and he has been a godsend, and so we talk a lot about supernatural relationships, and that's just people that God brings in your life to further the call or help you in life. And I hope that you would say, you know, I have a friend like that, or I have a pastor like that. I have a minister in my life, a mentor, and if you don't, well, you need to find them. And if they're in your church, one is your pastor. Your pastor is a great mentor in your life. And you say, in my life? Oh, yeah. Every Sunday when you come, or Wednesday nights when you come, you're hearing the word, and then it's like a life support system. And you say, oh, now come on. Well, that is how I view it. There's been a lot of times in my life when I had a pastor speak into my life at the right moment, or brought a scripture, brought the word at the right time in my life when I needed it most. So those mentors in your life help further the call. And so I'm so thankful. We were looking for someone to teach our girls worship with piano and learning how to play just by the unction of the Holy Spirit and to worship God on the piano. And so God brought Mr. Brian in our life, and he has been a godsend. When I watch my girls play, and it's furthered the call, especially in Grayson, but even in Addison. You know, your kids all have different calls on their lives. And just because one's call is this, doesn't mean the other one has to have the same exact call, but they intertwine. And so each of our kids, seeing them come into the fullness of that, that is your reward. I was thinking the other day, like, you know, having money and houses and things, that's all great. And you might say, well, that's a great reward. It is. But there's a greater reward, and that is your children following the plan of God for their life and the steps that God has ordered for them. And that's the greatest joy, I think, as a parent. And so it's exciting. So welcome. Hey, but welcome to Genesee Valley Church. We are church what? Loving God, loving people, and loving life. Hey, I've got a message today, and I think it's a timely message. And it feels like this whole month has been like a string that's kind of intertwined all the messages together. And then when I hear other ministers or pastors, not just in our area, but in other states, they're all saying the same thing, because we're all the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit's saying the same thing to everybody. And that is, hey, this is a new season. And in this new season, we said as our church, we've made a turn. So that means we were going this way, doing things this way. But now God's saying, oh, no, let's go this way now. I've got a higher way or a higher place for you. But I'm seeing in that turn, I think every church is making that turn. Because I think it is a heart turn to God, a repentance, a checking up on my heart, where I'm at with God, and what am I doing with my life? What's the purpose? And so I really believe this, I hear this in every church that I'm listening to. So I know it's what God's doing in this season. And with it being Thanksgiving week, what a week to set aside some time to just get with God and ask questions. I hope you ask God questions. Because a lot of times he'll answer you with the word. And he'll just answer your heart. Answer those questions you have about your life, about where you are. And so we're just going to take some temperature this morning. Are you with me to do that? The temperature in here this morning is pretty cold. And so I apologize, but we did not do that on purpose to keep you awake. but when we came in, like, the heaters have all been off because we had some really good weather for a few days, and then I just forgot about it. And so I did not come up here and reset them, and the guys that usually do it, you know, are out hunting, you know, because I see other chairs, so I'm sure that's where they are, you know, because we're in that season here in Michigan. So just stay really warm. Keep your hands in your pockets or put your coat on for a little bit. But it'll probably get a little warmer by the time we leave. So that's all good. Praise the Lord. So we're going to start over, and I'm going to read a scripture over in Luke chapter 21. You may say, you know, I hear a lot of things talking about Jesus coming. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I haven't heard it back then. And I remember sitting there with my mom, and you hear Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Well, I mean, that was like 20 plus years ago now. But then the Bible gives us signs to look for. And all these signs were not 20 years ago, but now they're here. And so Jesus guides us, or God guides us little by little by little by little. And it's in the Bible. And so we can read the Bible and know the signs of the time. You say, well, is he coming back right now? Well, no, obviously not. But he's coming soon. And so that just says you're going to know the season. You're going to know the times. And so it's a time for us to just check up on ourselves where we're at. Because I believe us as believers or as church have been distracted for a lot of years. And so sometimes you can get comfortable in the distracted life. Does that make sense? In the busyness of life, it becomes the norm. And so when COVID came, even though COVID was a really bad thing, I have a friend that's a pastor's wife, and she said, COVID was a bad thing, I know. She said, but I actually kind of liked COVID. And I knew what she was saying, because everybody had to stop. Everybody, you had to stop. You were made to stop. And you were just sitting in your house. What are we going to do? So it made you stop being going, 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 going. But how quickly we came back to the going, going, going. Isn't that amazing? Now, some of it you say, well, I can't get away from going to work. Well, yeah. But I just mean constantly having to have something to do, constantly busy in our minds. Just, it's just the busyness of life. And so we're going to look over here, over in Luke chapter 21. Starting at verse 34, he says, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened, depressed, or weighed down. Have you ever felt weighed down? Just your heart just heavy with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries, and cares pertaining to the busyness of life, this life. And lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. For it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Verse 36 says, keep awake then and watch at all times. Be attentive and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability, be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. And so you might say, well, what is that talking about? When you go up to verse 25, it's talking about the signs. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, trouble in the nations, bewilderment, perplexity. We're seeing that. And we have for years now, without resources, left wanting, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn at the roaring of the tossing of the sea. Men swooning away, expiring with fear, dread, apprehension, expectation of the things coming to the world. So fear is taking over the earth. So it says, hey, be ready. Don't get caught up in the distractions of life and the busyness of life where you're so busy that you don't even have time for God. Now you may say, oh, well, I have time for God. I have time for God. I'm coming to church, and I'm thankful for that. But look how many people are busy. Now, we'll give them that it's Thanksgiving. So a lot of people go out of town. But it's distractions. The busyness of life that carries us away. And so Jesus was just saying there, hey, get your head up. You don't have to be in fear. Because the Bible says that God made a way for us. And so he don't want us to get scared. I know it's easy to get scared when you watch the news. That's why you shouldn't watch the news. Because half of it's not right. But you can pray always. And you can take self-awareness test. There's indicators of where people are, right? You're not judging others. You just judge yourself. And so there's a judging of yourself that is needful, I think, in this hour. That's what I've been doing. Constantly talking to the Lord. And he shows me constantly, hey, tweak that. Hey, what about this? He's telling me that stuff. And when I go to read the word, you know, the Bible says that I'm excited when I hear the word or I go into the word. It's like I've found like a new treasure. Do you get excited about the word? And so we check up on ourselves. Are we reading the Bible? Or are we like, no, I just really don't even do it. I don't have time. I don't have time. Do you talk to God? And so I believe as churches universal, this is where we're at. In the season of making a turn. Because there's lives at stake. There's people that you need to minister to. That you need to bring Jesus to. Well, when you're heavily distracted in the busyness of life, you could care less if they know Jesus or not. Because you are busy and you have to get your stuff done. And I get it. You got a lot of stuff you got to get done. But I have started like, you know what? I'm going to step back and I don't have to do all that. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no, not today. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for this, but not today. I've got more things that I need to do. So there was a story of Mary and Martha. Remember, Mary chose the good portion, and that was spending time with Jesus. So I really believe in this turn that it's really the body of Christ, a turn for the body of Christ to say, all right, God, I'm going to get things together with you. I'm going to get some things in line on purpose. I'm going to get some things in order, and I'm going to endeavor to walk with you more than I ever have before, and not have like a lazy attitude toward the things of God, or like a if it happens, it happens. If not, oh well. But be on purpose to follow after Him. And so, as you look at scriptures just along those lines, over in 3 John 2, it says, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And so God wants us to live a good life. He wants you to be healthy, be in wisdom and the knowledge of Him increasing. He wants you to be happy, not heavy, burdened down. Those heavy and burdened down are things of the world. Now, the Bible says we live in the world, and so you're going to feel those things. To say, well, you're not going to feel them would be a lie. You're going to feel those things. You're even going to go through things that brings the heavy, brings it real strong. You ever been through those? I've been through those times in my life. I didn't ask for this heavy, but it just came. But we can't stay in the heavy, because if you stay in the heavy, it's going to suck the life out of you. It's going to take you out of life. And that's what the enemy wants all along. The Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's his intent every day of your life. But God wants us to prosper. So over in Jude 1, 3, it says, actually, there is only one Jude, right? Jude 3. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write to you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith, actively feeding your faith." So my faith needs food. Nourishment, or it needs the word. And so if you've asked Jesus into your heart, then you have faith. You have the faith of God in you because you have Jesus. But we don't just leave it there, but we have to feed our faith. And so that's a discipline to feed our faith. Because if you'll feed your faith, it'll get you through the heavy. Amen. And so it says there, let's dissect this. I like to dissect scriptures because then I understand it. When you read through it fast all the time, just trying to get it done, you're getting the word because you're reading it. But when I understand it, it becomes revelation to my life. And then I can live it out. Amen. And so over it says, beloved, my whole concern, I was going to write to you about this. But he found it necessary. That means it's important. I was impelled to write to you. And he says, to contend for the faith. Well, contend means to strive for against difficulties. When you're contending for something, there's something that's trying to stop it. Right? Just that word alone. So it tells me that we're going to have to fight for the faith. Serving God, serving Jesus, living for God, it's going to be a fight. And if you've been around for any length of time on the earth serving Jesus, you know it has been a fight. And so Jesus gave us the victory. He bought your victory. But it's not always automatic. It is according to Jesus because he did everything that he can do. But if I understand I already have the victory, it's going to be a fight though. There's a fight to the victory. It doesn't just happen and fall in your lap. It's a fight. Amen. And so there it said, earnestly contend. So if you're earnest about something, you're serious about it, right? It's on your mind. You wake up thinking about it. It's during the day you're thinking about it because you're serious about it. You're more intense. You're not flippantly just doing something or half-hearted about it. No, you're serious about this. So he's telling us, appealing to us to contend for the faith, to feed our faith. So earnest is not casual toward it, but our faith will flourish in this kind of way when we're feeding it the word. So we have to be skilled enough to get past heaviness and opposition in our life. And especially in this day and hour, this time, the enemy's trying really hard to get you to be quiet, to sit down, and do what you're told. He's trying to come against the plan of God for your life, the purpose of God. He does not want the purpose of God to prevail. And so he knows his time's really short, and it's almost up. And I tell you that there have been prophecies that there is coming a glory of God, a move of God upon the earth. We have had moves of God all through the years on this earth. We've had healing revivals, Jesus movement revivals, all kinds of, through the years. And when God showed up, when the movement was moving, it got everything in it. It was like a tsunami. Whew. It pulls everything in with it. And it got on everybody. Well, there's a glory coming. The Bible says it's the latter rain and the former rain coming together. So that means all those movements that have been really awesome and the moving of God, and look at the lives that were changed and saved and bodies healed and miracles. It's coming again, but then there's a new one coming to add to it that will take it further than we've ever seen before. And our minds cannot even fathom the glory of God in that manifested way. It was said that our churches are not big enough to keep the people, that there will be not enough churches for this last move before Jesus comes. Well, when you look at our churches right now, there's room in churches to fill them up. Well, we can be the naysayers. and stay on this side and say, well, you know, I think this is as good as it's going to get. Have you seen what's going on in this world, Pastor Kelly? I don't know about that. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. That God's not moving. That God's done away with. He is. And so he is moving. You just have to find it. Look for it. He is moving. He's moving in your life. And so when you're always under the heavy burden of life and the struggles of life, you can't ever see God moving, God working in you, because you're always over heavy, weighted down, the busyness of life. Don't you see that that's where the enemy wants to keep you? If you stay right there, you'll always be overwhelmed by the stuff. And it probably, more than likely, is overwhelmed by yourself. But I believe in this season and in this turn that God's saying, hey, there's a higher way. And that we as a church ought to have been living in that place. But now God's anointing, his presence is helping us. And so it's going to be easier than what it used to be. And you're going to find that, oh my goodness, I'm walking through doors that are just, they're just opening for me. When I come to church, when I get up on Sunday, there's an anointing that's present. It's helping me to get ready. I want to go to church today. Isn't that awesome? That is the move of God that's starting. And so if we're aware of it, we can jump in the game and be with God and move with him. Instead of being over here and saying, well, I don't see it, Lord. Well, anybody that's ever been negative in life, have they ever got anywhere in life? No. When you get around people that are negative, you just want to hurry up and get away from them, right? Like, I don't need this today. I was like, I'm not doing that. Nope. I'm going to stay right. Sometimes you got to do that and with people. I'm going to walk in love. So over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he's talking there to the church of Laodicea. And you may be familiar with it. They were the lukewarm church. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard this story. But over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, he's talking about a spiritual condition. He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Verse 16 says, so then because you're lukewarm, so you're in the middle, you're neither cold nor you're not hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That sounds really disgusting, doesn't it? But it gives you a picture of how God views that. And so you, when you look at this, you may just read through it real fast, but let's dissect it. And so if somebody's cold, if you've been hot, you can't go back to being cold. Because someone that's cold is probably somebody that's never heard about Jesus. Someone that's never known the goodness of God. Somebody that's probably not really been in church a lot. They're just really cold to God, to Jesus, to the Bible. They don't know anything. You probably know people like that. They are still in the United States. Cold. Don't know anything about Jesus. And then if you've been hot, someone that's hot has seen the goodness of God. You have seen God work in your life. You've seen the miracles of God. Maybe you've seen it in your own body, the miracle that you are, like God raised you off of a deathbed. Maybe you've seen God come through for you. Just the goodness, the faithfulness of God. You have been a churchgoer, and you were once on fire for God. We sang about it today. Lord, the passion I have for you, it will never go away. The fire that's in my heart, it burns for you. But in someone that's lukewarm, They once were hot, but now they've stepped back. Maybe it's things that have happened in life. Something's happened. Maybe it's just the distractions, the busyness of life. But something's happened where they've just stepped back. And then once they step back, then they just take a seat on God, on church, on life, living it for God. And they're weighted down. And so they become lukewarm. But they once were on fire for God. There was something that burned in them. And so God is saying, hey, I don't want you lukewarm. Because when someone's lukewarm, are they really doing anything? They withdraw from church. Well, first they withdrew from God. They withdraw from church. They withdraw from people. You probably know people like that. I do. You may have family members like that, that were once churchgoers. But now where do you find them in church? Nope. Taking it easy on a Sunday. And so God's saying, hey, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'd even rather you were cold than lukewarm, because lukewarm means you've seen my goodness and now you've turned away from it. But he wants us to be on fire for him. Praise the Lord. So we're not being lukewarm. We're on fire or hot for God. Hot for God. So this person, means that we have to grow and mature. It means that my old ways of living are back there. Now there's a new way that I'm living. Even though it may be hard, I push through the opposition and the hardness, the heaviness of those circumstances, those situations. I push through. There's something about somebody that'll just push through. If you're somebody that always quits in the beginning, like, well, that's too hard, and you sit down, you are not going to make it very far in life with God, because the enemy is constantly trying to get you to sit down, trying to get you to stop on God, to step back. And so when you learn that there is a fight of faith, and you keep the fight, because there is a fight, and the fight is a spiritual fight of saying, I will not back down. I will not quit, because God has already given, Jesus gave me the victory, and God's got a plan for my life. And there's a purpose. And so living for God's purpose. Amen. And so that has been the last few weeks. It's like, God, I live for your purpose. And I've always, you know, I would say, well, we're pastors, and so we obviously live for God, and, you know, I went to Bible school, we follow God, you know, the best we know how, and, you know, do all the things. But I had to ask myself, God, in everything that I do, is it for your purpose? Your purpose. Not my purpose or the agenda that I think that we should do or have. But what's God's purpose in everything? Because when we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be about. What do we do with God's purpose? Amen. So when you go to the doctor, the first thing when you go to a doctor, what do they do? Usually the first thing, they want to take your temperature, right? Because usually if you're going to urgent care or doctor, there's something wrong in your body. And so I've taken my kids through the years, even when my son broke his arm, they take the blood pressure, put the thing in your mouth, thermometer, and they say, hold it there, you know, and they want to know your temperature. But why do they want to know your temperature? Because that is an indicator of where you are. And if there's an infection in your body, it tells them things, what's going on in your body. Just taking your temperature alone. And so we can bring that over into our spiritual life. We have a thermometer. And so we can take our temperature ourselves. And there's indicators in our life that tells us where we are, right? And so we can take the temperature according to the word and find out, okay, God, where am I at? And find out if I'm cold, I'm hot, I'm lukewarm. Where am I on that spectrum? And God will help you get to the right place. So God's looking for fervency. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection as members of a family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Well, that is not in the world, but that's in God's kingdom. We honor each other. But in verse 11, I find it funny that he follows it with this. So he's saying, I want you to not be selfish ambitions. Put those aside. I want you to prefer your brothers and sisters. I want you to love them and do for them and care for them. And then he goes over in verse 11 and says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Wow. Never lag in your zeal. We can leave that right there. So God wants us to be enthusiastic. He wants us to do it with joy, to be excited to serve Him. He doesn't want us weighted down. Because then who wants to be around somebody like that? Well, somebody in the world can say, well, you look just like me. Why do I need Jesus? But see, that's the whole intent and the purpose of the enemy, is to keep us right there so that we don't affect others toward God or draw them to want to know Jesus. So spiritual maturity and growing up is learning how to discipline yourself in a lot of these things. So when you go to church, how am I when I'm at church? Am I still distracted because that's the life I live? Or am I here like, God, what is your purpose today for me? What do you want me to do? He'll lead you. If you'll be open, if you just go to the stores, you know, we're so busy and going in and out of stores. I like to get it done. And I really don't like going to the grocery store. And I haven't stepped over into the, you know, deliver my groceries to me because I think, well, I can go get them. I'm not like disabled where I can't go get them. But then I have all kinds of friends that do it. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? It's like, that's just the culture, I guess. I don't know. So I'm lagging in the culture. I have not stepped over to do that. So I go to the store, but I do really not like it. I don't know. There's something about it. I mean, going to the grocery store will be the last thing that I do. Just ask my kids. You know, some days they're like, are we going to get any food in here? And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I got to go get that done. I would rather go to Sam's and buy it all up for like a whole month and then not have to go for a month. That would be great and wonderful, but that's not the case. But even when you go to the store, if you just stop to look around, there are so many hurting people in the store. They're weary. They're weighted down. There's mess in their lives. And if you're so busy all the time, you're just in and out like I usually like to be. I have taught myself, disciplined myself to slow it down. And when I go into the store, I have my eyes open and I'm watching people. And it may just be a compliment that you give somebody. Or maybe there's somebody that you keep seeing every time you go down an aisle. Oh, there they pop up again. Well, there's a reason for that probably. That God's bringing them around you. But if we're just always busy all the time, we never take the God moments and opportunities in our life. Because I don't have time for it. Over in Matthew chapter 11, I'll just refer to it. It says that from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. We can agree to that all through the years. Great trouble, tribulation. But the next one down, it says, and the violent take it by force. Have you ever thought of it this way? That you have to have a force within you that fights for it. So it's kind of like the spirit of faith that's within you. Like that song, not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. Well, we have to have something in us that says, not today, Satan. I will conquer this day for the purpose of God. And so, as we live our lives every day, I think even this week, it's a week of Thanksgiving. But the first person we should be thanking is Jesus. Because we would not even be here if it wasn't for him. But we can't just leave it there. We keep moving with him. And if we'll keep moving with him, we will get through opposition because he already gave us the victory. And so the victory really is in Jesus. And this Bible is a great tool for you to use for victory and to build your faith. For you, your spirit can get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It doesn't have to stay where it is. And so next week, if I'll be intentful about being in the Bible this week and being in prayer, then next Sunday, I'm going to be stronger. And then the following week, I can do it again and get even stronger. You see how that works? But so many times we have the dips that kind of last a little too long. And then we're trying to get up on the high again, and then it's back down, and we're just kind of like this. Everybody has to get through those things. Just because you're a minister or a pastor doesn't mean that you're exempt from those. No, you're actually, pastors are hit at a greater degree. I don't know if you knew that. It may look like it's all peachy and rosy, keen, and you know, just beautiful all the time, but it's really not. You know, just you go through things at your level, but pastors, because of what they carry and what they minister, the devil really wants to get them to shut their mouth. So he's going to throw sickness. He's going to get their kids sick. He's going to get whatever he can do to get them to sit down, even if it's only for a little bit. And so, man, pray for your pastor. Amen. Because they need your prayers. But let's grow in the things of God. You can go ahead and stand. So let's take this week. It's Thanksgiving week, but we're going to take time to thank God. We're going to take time to be in his word. And so every week when we come, we have taken a turn. But as we've taken a turn, we don't just leave it there. Say, well, yeah, we have turned. And we don't do things the same way we've always done them. But we start doing something different. Maybe it's going to church more. Maybe it's adding Wednesday night. Maybe it's reading my Bible more. So I start walking on this new path that God has for me. And I find that things are getting better and better and better. Because now I'm learning how to fight through the opposition the enemy's bringing. And so it's a new level. I wish I could say the devil's not going to be there anymore. He's still going to be there. But it's a new level and a higher way of thinking for our church. And so these tools today, it's just helping you to think different, to turn, and now walk a different way. And you're not going to feel like it every day. There's going to be days that you wish I'd just go back to bed. I don't even want to do today. You can't say that. Even though you're feeling it with every fiber in your being. Nope. Today, what did Mrs. Hagin tell us? Today is the day the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice in it. And so it's going to be a good day. I got news for you, devil. You see how that works? You fight through the opposition. The opposition is constantly boom, boom. It's not leaving. It'll probably get greater at a new level. But what's getting greater is your faith. And we're going to conquer. And we're going to move out into greater glory. Amen. So there's good days ahead of us. If you are a child of God, there's great days, good days ahead of you. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you're opening our eyes to see the hope to which we have been called, your purpose, your inheritance that you have given unto us. Lord, we thank you for this week. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for everything that you are to us, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your love for us. Father, I thank you that we're growing in our faith. We are getting stronger, especially in this hour. And we are doing, just as Daniel did, great exploits for our God. We thank you for a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.